And welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Claire Wiley, and now it is my pleasure to introduce you to longtime middle school teacher and author Ellen Cochran. Cochran has just penned a new book titled Follow the Water, the unbelievable true story of a teenager's survival in the Amazon. Ellen, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today on This Green Earth.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on the show, and hello to all your listeners.
Well, I want to talk about a lot of things because this book is very rich in information and it is a harrowing story that many people may not have heard of. And if they haven't, it's just a powerful, powerful story. So we're going to get into the book in just a little bit. But first, tell me a little bit about your background as a teacher and what led you to become a naturalist.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Like most Americans, I've had many jobs and worn many hats. And when I started studying in school, I was going to be a zoology major, and then I switched to languages. And I am an English teacher as well as a Spanish and Russian teacher. So languages was really my focus. I went to get my California naturalist certification from the University of California because of a continued interest in nature and the natural world. And it has been really useful in the classroom and also in writing.
Right. And what is it about being a naturalist or the natural world that really appeals to you? As a child, were you very much about going out into the outdoors or being a part of the natural world? Or was it later in life that you began this appreciation?
That's a really interesting question. I have reflected a bit, and it's interesting because these days, terms like forest bathing and immersing yourself back in nature have become something that people are very interested into. And I'm 64, so when I was growing up, it was like national parks and getting to know areas around your house. That was encouraged, of course. And I was just drawn to it, particularly animals, all kinds of animals. Sometimes kids are, it's just like a little magnet and you can't get enough of it. And I was one of those kids. So that's how I started out. And it never left me. And when I was teaching English and languages, I would always try and incorporate some type of natural history if I could, including things like the life cycle of a fly to get interest going or something unusual. And I found that the kids really responded to that too. And so being able to integrate that across the curriculum was something that was really important.
You have just penned a new book, which is based on a true harrowing story. And I had looked up some of the reviews for this, and one of my favorite came from just the age group that you're looking for, early teenager who was so enthralled by your writing and said that they felt like they were a part of this story. And even though they knew how it ended, they were still on the edge of their seat. So let's begin with a background of your subject and how you were introduced to this really amazing story.
It's another thread of life that I didn't realize would follow me until this time. When I was 17, I was an exchange student to Peru myself. And this story is based in Peru about a young girl who had a terrible accident in Peru. I happened to have lived in the same city as she did. And then I also took the same flight that she did that ended up in a catastrophe. But at the time, I didn't know it. But I kept a journal when I was in Peru as an exchange student. And many years later, during COVID, like many people, we dug into our drawers and cleaned things out. And I found my journal and I started reading it. And I realized that I had heard about this before and I started researching it a bit. It coincided when I was getting a master's degree in science writing. And I thought, you know, I prepared many articles and research papers for the master's thesis, but I reached out to the person who was guiding me and asked if I could possibly write this story. And she said, go for it. And so I did. And I spent probably about a year doing extensive research about what happened and wrote this story with great pleasure. And it was interesting because I know when I was a kid reading books, I always wanted to know a little bit more about what was being told to me. And as magazine readers, we know sidebars are always fun to read. And I had the concept that why can't you put sidebars in a book? So what I did is I told the story, but anytime I could or there was an opportunity to explain the science behind what was happening, I did sidebars. I explained about plane crashes and lightning strikes and the Amazon forest and the flora and fauna. And it was just, for me, it was a rich experience. And I hope that translates well to the book.
Well, it certainly does. The book is called Follow the Water, the true story of a teenager's survival in the Amazon. So Follow the Water depicts Julianne Kopecky's story. And this story is so wild.
Correct. It's probably one of the most well-documented survival accounts from the 20th century, but sometimes it does fall off the radar. So I was really pleased to be able to write it again specifically for middle grade and young adult readers. It's an oft-told story in print. Many articles have been written and some books before, and she herself wrote an autobiography for adults. They gave me great information because it became part of my research to read every single thing I could find. And it is a story, I got to tell you. She was on a plane and she was flying back to a research station in the middle of the Amazon that her parents had created for their studies. She's living there, but she had gone back to school for graduation. She begged her mother to stay an extra night, and she got on the plane the next day that actually wasn't the plane she was supposed to be on. And as she was flying over the Andes, she made it, but they encountered a huge thunderstorm and the plane was struck by lightning. A wing fell off. Her seat was torn from the plane. She was 2 miles in the air and she fell. Wow. And she fell all the way through the canopy down to the Amazon floor, and she survived. But she was in the middle of the Amazon, days away from safety. And in 11 days, with all her injuries, the trauma, losing her mother who had been sitting next to her, she walked out of the jungle and survived.
It is almost unfathomable to think about this experience and it unfolding, especially to a younger person. How old was Julianne and what year was this?
It was 1971 and she was 17 years old, and she was mature, but she was a small person too. She's, I would guess, probably about 120 pounds soaking wet. And it, you know, it is a very stunning and somewhat horrific story in many sections. And I had a lot of pause and a lot of thought about how to write this for a younger audience. And I just decided that honesty was the best policy. I didn't have to go too far into graphic sensationalism, but I did want to tell what happened and how it happened. And I thought that was very important.
And how did your days there and your recollection of that place and sense of place play into this?
Well, I knew the atmosphere of Lima, the city where she lived part-time. I went to the Natural History Museum where her parents had been working. I traveled into the spaces where she had been, and I did not go to the area where the research station was, but many places in the Amazon are very similar. And I visited a town called Iquitos, which was on the path to where they had their research station. So I recalled everything. I recalled the smells, the sounds, what it was like to fly in those planes. Going over the Andes is usually where your hair stands on end because there's so much turbulence because of the huge breadth and height of the mountains. But unfortunately for her, a disaster hit when she was actually over the Amazon jungle.
So the Amazon is presented here as a character in the book, and the rich way that it is described, not only as the backdrop, but really as what is working for her and against her. Can you talk to me about the landscape in which she was in? Can you describe for us what it may have been like for her there in the Amazon and what that looked like?
In that area of the Amazon, perhaps at that time there were some indigenous people who would go through, but there were no set paths. You would encounter vegetation so thick you couldn't pass through it as a human. She had no machete, no way to go around things like this, so she had to figure out a way to get through. One undeniable fact about the Amazon is the rain, and she had fallen in December, and it rains and rains and rains in December, so she was in the season where every night practically she was drenched with rain. She was bedeviled by insects. It was a physically harrowing experience. But one of the things that she had with her was her parents taught her how to move in the jungle. They taught her what to avoid. And if you don't know what it is, you don't touch it, you don't eat it, plants and animals. And she, you know, took those lessons to heart. And so it wasn't like she was in a completely foreign place. It was pretty much her backyard. But unfortunately, she had fallen in a very, very remote area. One of the things that she relied on to rescue herself was a lesson her father taught her, and it is the inspiration for the title of the book, Follow the Water. He told her, if you are lost, if you're impenetrably lost in the jungle, one of the resources you have is water, and water can help you, because if you follow water, eventually it will lead to people and civilization.
So beyond the wild ride of this true story, there is inherently some information given that could help young people understand how important it is to have knowledge of the natural world, how important it is to understand survival techniques or how we navigate the world around us. Is that something that you intentionally wanted to weave in there?
Oh, absolutely. In this day and age when opinion is put forward more than facts, I think it's so important for children to know exactly how things work and how they can navigate through the world. This book is not a survival manual, but it does encourage observation in your world, because that really helped her get through those lonely nights and going forward to survival. She observed, she listened, she made decisions based on facts. Also, at the end of the book, I wanted to make sure that there were additional resources for readers. So I gave them information about how to become a scientist, gave them step by step. So it doesn't become a mystery if you do want to go into the sciences. But you don't have to go into the sciences to have an appreciation and an understanding of the natural world. It's so important for us and for young people to know the basics of biology and health and how to keep themselves going strong and healthy in the world. So I'm hoping that this book gives them some, well, agency is an oft-used word, but really agency, so they can survive things that come their way. And hopefully it won't be this dramatic, but they will be able to use some of the lessons here.
Well, right. Also, when you paint such a vivid picture of a place and give a sense of where Julianne was navigating and what that background looked like, it might give people a greater sense to care about how we do steward these places, because it seems the more you research or look into a place, the more that you care about it or understand it or want to preserve it.
I think that that's really true. For people who learn about natural history, it makes it very difficult to step away and have no feeling and no investment into what happens about our natural world. That type of education is, I think, critical for preserving our natural world.
And even in going through this, Julianne decided she was going to give back to the Amazon forest and that it was important for her to look at conservation efforts. Can you tell me about that?
One of the things that she said to herself as she was sitting on the riverbank in the middle of her ordeal was, how could I have survived this? What is the meaning of this? I must be here for a reason. And she took that message through the years. She wasn't able to act on it immediately. Her father kept the research station going, but she inherited the research station because they had actually been able to buy some land to do their work on. She has spent years expanding the acreage and making it a wonderful place, a preserve in the Amazon. She took that message with her and has worked diligently throughout her life to do that. Some of the things that she's had to face have been astronomical. Most recently, many of us have heard on the radio about the gold mining situation in the Amazon, the deaths, the attacks, and it's not safe for Panguana, which is the name of the research station either. Just recently, they had some attacks on scientists. They were shot at. Fortunately, nobody was killed, but she has had to, for a temporary time, shut down the research station because of the safety issues for the scientists, and they're trying to work out more protection with the Peruvian armed forces and police.
And when you hear something like that, having been there, having written this book and delved so deeply into this place, how does it make you feel when you see these things happening in our world, moving us in a tough direction?
You know, first, it's sorrow, particularly when you see the pictures, because gold mining is very devastating on the land. It poisons the river because they use mercury to extract the gold, but they also pretty much just flatten the areas around the rivers, taking every piece of flora out, and the fauna just runs because, you know, there's no place to be. I feel pretty devastated. The other thing is, though, is that it's very hard these days to hide this type of egregious activity. The monitoring, the pictures, the writing that's going on does help do some intervention. And you're always pleased when you find out governments, I think the Peruvian government is trying to respond to this devastation. When you have a positive response like this, you know, you're cheering and in their corner. But it is pretty sobering. And, you know, this is our home. We don't have another home.
Right.
So you want to help stop this.
And in Julianne's story, you see this way in which there's an understanding of the connectedness of plants and insects and how everything works together and has a purpose here, and how the Amazon does support so much of the health of our planet. And in looking at that, it really is educating all of us about how interconnected we all are and how this planet works. When you're talking about a big system like the Amazon and how fragile it can be, even though it seems like this very strong place, there is still this true fragility about it. What do you want people and readers to take away in that sense of learning more about this place and how it can actually affect us even this far away?
It's known as the lungs of the planet, and it's the largest rainforest left on the earth. It's astonishingly big. When you think of the Amazon, you think of a couple of countries, but it's just thousands and thousands of miles of the natural world. I don't like to be completely negative, which is easy to do because you see so much devastation, but it is really inspiring to see how interested young people are in not following the path that their elders have taken and trying to affect change. Reading, writing, talking, promoting, letting people know, and supporting foundations that are in the thick of it is a great way to do it. And also, when you become engaged in your own society on a local level, whether it's in Utah or California, you can work change here, form relationships, and it's interesting how you might think you're local, but things happen often where you reach out and you can touch people in other areas as well. There's no perfect fix. We as humans have been on this path for a long time, but I really am inspired by young people because their eyes are wide open. They see everything that's going on.
Absolutely. And I think books like this help to educate that and help to spur those thoughts of hope forward and how we can all make a difference in some way. And even in the proceeds of your book, you are doing something to help the Amazon. Can you tell me about that?
Absolutely. Julianne's foundation is called Panguana, which is named after the research station, which was named after a local bird. That's an unusual name, but it's a part of the life that's around there. Her foundation works to host scientists, and it increases the acreage every single year by purchasing land, farmland around the area. So I've decided for my book, for the entirety of its time in publication, and hopefully, you know, over the years, it'll still generate income. 10% of everything that I earn is being donated to the Panguana Foundation.
Why was that important for you to do?
This is not my story. It's Julianne's story, and the work she's doing is brave and I think potentially changing for the area. You know, I had the gift of telling her story, but I also want to be able to give something back that will help what's going on the ground in Peru.
Right. When you were writing this book, what was something that stood out to you that you learned about the Amazon that you might not have known before that really was impactful to you?
The Amazon is a battleground. Every single plant is fighting to get that sunlight. And it was fascinating to learn about how all the little strategies they use, the shapes of the leaves, the chemicals they put out. They, meaning flora, does somewhat work together because they all are seeking the sun, but each genus and species wants it more than the other one. So it's very interesting to read about all of the things that go on for survival in the Amazon, that when you look perhaps in an aerial view and you see all the trees, you see it and you think, oh, there's a forest, but that forest, there is some serious business going on down there.
Yes, lots of richness, so many different species, such an ecosystem, like you said, the lungs of the world. And we appreciate you bringing to light some fascinating facts about the Amazon, but also telling Julianne's story. It's called Follow the Water, the Unbelievable True Story of a Teenager's Survival in the Amazon. And it is truly unbelievable. It's harrowing. And yet it was a little bit of a miracle. And now we have our young readers understanding more about this place because of this, and what she's gone to do has been very impactful for others. So we appreciate you bringing her story back to the forefront. What's next for you?
One of my other hats that I wore in my life was I was a Russian major when I graduated undergrad. And I lived and worked in the former Soviet Union for a couple of years. And I am fascinated with the flora and fauna there. So I decided to write a book. This time it's fiction, somewhat similar in that it's a survival story in the far east of Russia, where you have siblings that through a series of unfortunate circumstances end up on their own. And the other main character in the story is an Amur Siberian tiger.
Oh, wow. Well, that sounds fascinating and wonderful. We can't wait to get our hands on that as well. Well, Ellen Cochran, the book again, Follow the Water, the Unbelievable True Story of a Teenager's Survival in the Amazon. Where can people go to learn more about you, your writing, and this book?
I have a website. It's ellencochran.com. You can also buy it online, bookstores.com. org, I believe, if you wanted to go to the smaller bookstores, and you can also get it at the larger retail sites.
Thank you so much for being a part of This Green Earth and sharing a little bit more about your story and how you came to write this story for young readers out there, but also adults as well can definitely enjoy this book. It very much keeps you on the edge of your seat. So thank you so much, Ellen, for being a part of This Green Earth.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the work you're doing.